thank you, Peter and Jenny. And Jenny, thank you for that image of the echo. That's a beautiful way of putting it. I think that's helped us all, yeah? So it's an echo. The second Testament reading was an echo of the first. All right, so our texts, our sacred texts, are challenging us that this idea of consumerism that we're really good at, aren't we? I bet we've all had a good old go in the sales. It's not to go unchecked. This is not a permanent state of being, that there should be a regular period of time when the structures of wealth and power are unpacked and are dismantled, because there is enough for everyone. Human sin or greed results in the unequal distribution of wealth and power, and this isn't what God intended. This morning we're gathering with the blessing of the First Peoples of the Uniting Church and beyond to ponder what the realities are of colonisation and invasion and what that means for us as people of faith. Now, Jesus refused to participate in the power structures and the systems of dominance of his time. We're told that he lived simply. He held a common purse with the community. He healed anyone and everyone. I can imagine that at some of our doctor's surgeries. He treated all people with dignity and respect, even women. And that was a heavily patriarchal, powerful system at the time. He respected eunuchs, we're told. And Richard Rohr, the theologian Richard Rohr, has a really interesting take on this, because he said eunuchs should be seen as anybody, or understood as anybody, that does not fit into a binary female-male gender. That's a really interesting way of interpreting that term. So how did Jesus live this simple life? And I can see the daggers coming at me. Well, he began in his own home. He began where he grew up, and he began with the people that he knew. He looked around him and he saw the injustice that surrounded him, and he reached out to those who were hurting. And in that way, others joined him. And so the fed began to feed, and the healed began to heal, and the loved began to love. And sufficient becomes an abundance. Going back to those US bishops, they described the year of Jubilee. They said it was a time to restore freedom and justice among people, to re-establish relationships of equality, remedy the conditions that kept people oppressed, and to cancel debts. What does that mean for us this morning, as we gather to pray for the day of mourning? What does this mean for us in our relationship with God, the First Peoples, and this land? Caitlin has a suggestion. We are going to chat about this for about 5 minutes with the people around you. If you want to move outside to get a bit of space, that's fine. Bob and I will come and get you. Think the questions are coming up on the screen. As if by magic, thank you, Brian. These are the questions to ponder with the people around you, but you can go outside if you want to. 5 minutes, and then right of reply. Okay? I suggest you follow Caitlin because she obviously has wisdom. Can I gather you The conversation seemed to be going so well, we gave you a bit of extra time. All right, now Jill has a microphone in her little hot hand, and Bob and I are going to attempt to facilitate this time. So would anybody like to share their group's thoughts?
My name is Rosemary Beavis, and I share with Jay and Alicia our thoughts today. And we are all from England originally, and we feel this weight on our shoulders for the situation that our forebears created, and we still feel that deeply, and we wondered what we could do about it. And Jay noticed that often there's only one flag flying, and where are the Aboriginal flags and the Torres Strait Island flags? And we feel too that the Uluru Statement and other things that over the years have fallen on deaf ears in our political system, but we don't know what to do about it.
Put you on the spot, but Jenny, could you just respond from a Building Bridges point of view? Sorry. Could we get the microphone over to Jenny just for a minute? Because I think it doesn't answer your question, Rosemary, but I think it might help.
Building Bridges is very much about here we are here in Manningham and what can we do about this issue. And Uluru's statement from the heart showed us quite clearly that Aboriginal people want to be listened to. They want to be listened to without interruption, and they want to know that they're heard. And we know that we've only just touched the ground with building bridges with Aboriginal people in this community. But building bridges for 2020 will be on the 3rd of October, note the plug, and we will be inviting our Aboriginal friends back to join us, and we'll be raising some other issues and hoping that people will learn so much from a lived experience of Aboriginal people and some of the disadvantages that they still suffer, particularly if they look white. Because we don't like recognising pre-Aboriginal people who are not dark-skinned. But this is where we stand, this is where we are starting, and hopefully like a rock thrown into a pond, the ripple effect as we change hearts and minds of the people who come to building bridges might actually start making a difference. And we start with us.
Thank you, Jenny. Our group will be very pleased to hear that because one of the things that we raised was it's been very slow to get to the point where we have got to. What we need to do is to look for a way forward. And it's this sort of thing that Building Bridges is presenting to us, which will give us the opportunity to do that. We can talk about what's happened in the past and we can flagellate ourselves because of it and all that sort of thing. We don't want to get as far as a certain leader of our country did a few years ago and say, oh, well, it's not my problem. I'm not going to make an apology. Forgetting, of course, that he was representing the whole of Australia and that there were many Australians who wanted to make an apology. It was eventually made. But moving on, this was our concern, that we do need to look forward and find positive solutions to this. And this statement of the heart needs to be put forward, we think.
Could I just, to make a comment on that, that what I noted when I was researching for this, that very little has happened legally, and what has happened hasn't really been acted on much. But we can't wait. In everything we do in life, there's a certain baseline that law can give us, but we have to go beyond that, and it has to be in the spirit that we begin to recognise Aboriginal people, to welcome them, to notice that they're actually in the Manningham community, because many people might think there weren't many here or any here. And to begin to use it, it's not just notice them, but as if we're some sort of paternally friendly people, but to get the benefit of their experience. I mean, for example, in the bushfires, I think it would have been different if the Aboriginal people had been included in the land management. And it certainly is in the Northern Territory and places. So there are a number of ways in which we can learn something about even reading our Bible. I don't actually think the rainbow serpent existed and rattled around all over Australia making valleys and hills. But I think we can learn a great deal from that story. And then we can go back to our own faith and think, even if we don't know what actually happened, we can learn a lot from what's in there. So, sorry. Yes.
My name's Heather. Beryl and I were talking about just a very small practical thing we saw yesterday, which was watching the tennis in Adelaide, and Aboriginal people were involved in the presentation ceremony, involved in the actual production of the trophies and things like that. They blessed the trophies, made sure that no evil spirits were involved. And to us, you know, that's just a very, very small practical way of recognising the spirituality and that's involved with the Indigenous people. And as was said before, the idea of going forward and looking at more things that can be done.
Yep.
Just one thing. I wonder if we can vote in a woman Prime Minister next time. I think yes. The Prime Minister of New Zealand and her compassion.
Instead of one getting railroaded. Yeah.
My name's Marion. We were talking about how actually increasing our understanding of history can help us to be more compassionate and be able to have more equal relationships. And listening to Bob's history lesson, that was very useful. And Sharon teaches about Aboriginal culture to her school children. So, but a lot of us grew up before that was happening, so it's good for us to educate ourselves. But also it's good for, as well as listening to the people who are in our community, we need to realise that there are many people in remote communities where there are conditions that are keeping them oppressed, so especially like access to healthcare and healthy food. So we also have to try and get the government to make some changes to change those conditions.
Thank you.
Can I suggest one more? If anybody has a burning desire to share.
While you're searching, could I say that the Aboriginal, you're talking about learning, the Aboriginal community in Melbourne actually provide classes that you can go to, or seminars, and I went to one down on the Yarra, and we walked along the Yarra, and they showed us places, and they talked about the history, but they also went through the history of the dreadful destruction of the nation. And I think we can learn. Better to learn from them. I'm delighted you're teaching it. That's not not anything against that. But if we can learn from them, and even though we get old, it's sort of like U3A. You know, we can go and learn from them. Thank you. Sorry.
It's Gail. we started by talking about oppression, and if some are oppressed, we all are oppressed. If some are poor, we all suffer from poverty. I was encouraged, and we didn't have this little bit in our group, but last night, listening to Kerry O'Brien's talk, you might have heard his award in the Logies, he was passionate about the Uluru Statement. And he is one of our white journalists amongst us, a statesperson who was upholding the Uluru Statement of the Heart. So I hope that we've all got a copy of that and that we can all read it and take it on board. It's a beautiful statement. Thank you.
Well, our general discussion was to do with the Australian people, the population and the lifestyle we lead. And despite the difficulties we're having with the Aboriginals and other aspects of life, when you consider the security and the peace and the love and the friendship we enjoy amongst ourselves, we should realise we are the luckiest people in this world. And if we can help each other as well as helping the Aboriginals, God bless us all.
Is going to begin with the offering.